I mean, Psalm 100. I was just reading Psalm 130 sitting there. Turn back to Psalm 100. This is a short psalm, especially for me. I like a lot of verses when I pray. But it's, as I said earlier, it's not the length of a message, it's the content of it. I'd rather say something 5 minutes that meant something than 30 minutes of just airtime. And this psalm here it blessed me today in studying it. If you'll notice there, it says a psalm of praise or thanksgiving. It is said that this is the only psalm that has that name as a psalm of praise. I thought as I sat in the study today, and I thought sometimes we ought to thank God for all His tender mercies toward us in Christ and just leave it there. Just leave it there. Sometimes we ought to thank and praise God for who He is. For who He is and for what He has done for us in Christ and just leave it there. Not making any requests. Just thank Him. Just give thanks unto the Lord and praise unto His name for who He is and what He's done for us. Look over in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I was just reading this while I was sitting over here. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Sometimes we just have to remember His mercies and just mention His mercies. And He says here in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise, a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." God is to be praised with joyful hearts first. God's to be praised with a joyful heart first. The Scripture says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." The mouth speaketh. Our praise and our thanksgiving is a joyful one. It's a joyful one. If it's not, then it's just pretense. It's just pretense. If it doesn't come from a joyful heart, if it doesn't come from a heart that's thankful unto God for His mercies and His kindness and His benefits, then it's just a pretense. But I tell you this, a sinner who has tasted and found the Lord to be gracious, if he's done that, he'll praise God. He'll praise God and he'll sing praises unto God with a joyful heart. I mean a joyful heart. And this joyful noise, it says, is for all lands, all the earth. This is not for one part of society. This is not for one part of the earth. God has made all things. All things belong to Him. All things are to praise Him. All things are to praise God. And this is for all lands, all people. I don't care what race it is, what ethnic group it is. I don't care what part of the earth it is. All are to praise God Almighty. God is to be praised from one end of the earth to the other. And one day, I thought about this sitting there today. One day, there's going to come a time when every tongue and tribe and nation is going to praise God. They're going to praise God. Far-reaching is the grace of God to sinners. To sinners like me and you. Far-reaching is the grace of God. And then it says in verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Serve Him with gladness. Our Lord is to be served by us. He's to be served by... We are His servants. We're glad to be His servants. And He's to be served by us. We have been bought with a price. That's what it says over in Corinthians. We have been bought with a price. Paul said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. We've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him who purchased me. Serve the Lord, he says here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Here's the attitude that we are to serve Him with. Gladness. Here's the attitude that we serve the Lord with. Gladness. We don't have a morbid religion. We do not have a morbid religion. This is not a funeral service. This is a worship service. And God is to be worshipped. He's to be worshipped with gladness. Gladness. And we do not serve Him with a slavish fear. Scared to death. If we don't, He's going to do something to me. We don't worship God like that. Not at all. We worship Him. We serve God with gladness. I mean glad. Glad that He'd even let me be in His service. I'm glad that He would even look my way and allow me to even serve Him. Glad. Glad to serve Him. I tell you this, there's no other way to serve Him. There is no other way to serve God but with gladness and rejoicing and praise. That's the only way. Any other way is nothing but a pretense. True worship of God involves a glad heart. It involves a glad heart. Glad to worship Him. Glad to be here. Those who have been born of God are glad to serve God. It's not a burden to serve God. You know, those Jews of old, they served under that law and all those ceremonies. And I tell you, it became a burden to them. But I tell you this, it is not a burden to serve our Lord. It's not a burden. Not at all. Glad to be where the gospel is preached. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be where the gospel is preached. Today I listened to two different messages preached. I was glad to listen to them. I sat there and I tell you, I rejoiced. I fed on those messages. I was glad to be where the gospel is preached. Glad to be used of God. Glad to be used of God. Glad to be where God has placed me. You glad where God placed you? He's put us all in the body as it's pleased Him. He's put us where we work, where what we do. Glad. Glad to serve Him. Content with our God. Content with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the people on the earth, we ought to be the most glad. We ought to be the most rejoicing people on this earth. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We've been washed from our sins. We ought to be the most glad people on this earth. And then it says this, come before His presence with singing. Come into His presence, into God's presence with singing. I tell you, the singing was exceptional, I thought, this evening. It was exceptional. If you can come before His presence with singing, if you can do that, it's evident you're glad to be there. You're glad to be there. A people who can come before the Lord with singing and a merry heart, they're glad to be there. They're glad to be there. And notice it says, come before His presence with singing, not sighing, singing. Singing. And here's the reason for the gladness and the singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That verse is loaded. It's loaded. I wish I had the mental capacity to bring it out. But it's loaded. Our worship and praise and singing in His presence is to be with intelligence. It's not to be with just any old racket and any old song. We just pick any old song and sing it. No, we look at the words of the song. We pay attention to the words. We come into His, we sing in His presence with intelligence. spiritual intelligence. Not intellectualism, but spiritual intelligence. Our Lord said to that woman at the well, He said, we worship that we do know. You worship, you know not what, you don't know what you're worshiping. Our Lord said, we know what we worship. We know. He said, salvation of the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew God. They knew the one they worshiped. They knew that Christ knew. He said, but you, he's talking about that woman there at the well. She said, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you worship. You're just going through the motions. You're worshiping an idol. You don't. We know it's intellect, spiritual intelligence. Real faith begins with a true knowledge of God Almighty. It begins with a knowledge of God that He is, and that He is as He revealed Himself in the Scriptures. You cannot worship God if you don't know Him. You can't worship a God you don't know. You can't do it. And to know Him, He must reveal Himself to you out of His Word. This is where we find out who God is, in His Word. We find out through the Word of God who God is. And that's how we worship Him, according to His Word, according as He's revealed Himself in His Word. That's how you do it. And if He does this, if God reveals Himself to us out of His Word, if we find out who God is, if we are given a knowledge of God, here's what you're going to learn, that the Lord is God. Here's one of the first things I learned when I heard the gospel several years ago, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. The Lord Jesus Christ is God with us. That's who He is. He is God Almighty, that man of sorrows. That man that was rejected, that man that was spit on, that man that was despised, is none other than God Almighty. That's who He is. Know ye that the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God. He's God. Know ye that the Lord, He is the sovereign potentate. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign heaven and earth. He said, I give life to whom I will. He gives life. The Son gives life to whom He will. He's the sovereign. He is the God of salvation. That's who He is. That man from Nazareth, that man that they made nothing of, is the God of my salvation. That's my God. And I'm not ashamed to let it be known. I'm not ashamed to say to this world that that man, Jesus Christ, is my God. He's my God. The Lord is God. Now, secondly, here's a reason for singing and praising and coming into His presence with this kind of an attitude and heart. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. As God, He made all things. All things are made by Him and for Him. Nothing exists apart from Jesus Christ. Nothing exists that He did not make. He made all things. But now listen. In a special way, He hath made us. He hath made us. He's made, as I read over to you in Ephesians 2, we, the believer, are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship. He made us new creatures, or a new creation, in Christ Jesus. Our first creation was from the dust. When God made Adam, He made him from the dust of the ground. He was earthy. That's what He was made from. But not that second creation. It was made of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Is Spirit. And just as I had no part by way of helping or advising in my first birth. I had no way of helping or advising in my second one. I didn't tell God how I wanted to be made. God did as He will. He was sovereign in it. It's written over here. Look over here in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Look down here in verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. He hath made us. He made us believers. He made us believers. I've said this before several times. I didn't make myself a believer, although I believe the gospel. But He made me a believer. Faith, as I read to you earlier, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. And it says there in that Psalm, we did not make ourselves. In no way, shape, or form did I make myself alive in Christ. This branch did not put itself in the vine. He made me. He made me. I tell you this, if He made me, He's not going to lose me. He's not going to lose that which He made from Himself. Because of Him and in Him we live and move and have our being. We live in Christ. That new man, he lives and moves and has his being in Christ. The greatest thief in the world is the man who takes honor for something he did not do. That's the greatest thief in the world, who takes to himself honor for something he had nothing to do with. This is of God. Salvation, from first to last, is all of God. From every ounce of it. Every bit of it. From the beginning of it to the end of it. It's all of God. And then it says, we are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. As I said, this verse is loaded. We are His people by creation. As I said, He made us. We did not make ourselves. That's what it says. We are His by covenant grace. We are His by purchase. He bought us. He not only created us, He bought us. He purchased us. We are His by grace. We are His by love. We are His people. This is my people. God Almighty has a people on this earth. We are His people. And we are the sheep of His pasture. He didn't take a goat and turn it into a sheep. I used to think that's the way it happened. He turned this goat into a sheep. He didn't do that. He did not turn a goat into a sheep. We are His sheep who were lost but now are found. If I'm His sheep, I've always been His sheep. I can't explain that. That's just beyond over my head. But we are His sheep. This is not a goat turned into a sheep. We've always been His sheep. We are His sheep and He is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. He's the one who leads and guides us. The shepherd. He's our shepherd. He leads and He guides His sheep. Sometimes we can't detect it. Sometimes we can't really put a hand on it. Sometimes we really can't see it or notice it. But I'm telling you, He always, always guides His sheep. What kind of shepherd would not guide his sheep? Our shepherd guides his sheep. And He feeds us in the green pastures. I could read Psalm 23 to you. He feeds us in His Word. Right here is the green pastures of the sheep. Right here. the Word of God is the sheep's pasture. Now, he says, enter in, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. What a glorious sound. If we could just, if God would enable us just rise to this occasion and hear this. Enter in. There's going to be some, He's going to say, depart. But to His sheep, to those who believe God, He's going to say, enter in. Welcome. Welcome into God's presence. That's what He's going to say. Welcome. Enter into His gates of mercy. Enter into His gates of Zion, the church. Enter in. Sinners are welcome through this gate. And only sinners. Only sinners. A sinner like me is welcomed into His presence. Isn't that something? That's amazing. That's something to sing about. That's something to rise up in the morning and praise God about. That a sinner like me can enter into His gates. Lift up your head and your heart and praise Him from whom all blessings flow. Welcome and enter in. And be thankful unto Him. Let me tell you this. You can write this down. A thankless man is a graceless man. That man has never tasted the grace of God. A man who is not thankful, he has ingratitude, has never tasted the Lord's grace. A thankless man is a graceless man. But a man saved by grace is a mighty thankful man. You can't help but be thankful. I'm telling you, when God plucks a man from that pit of corruption, when He plucks you like a fire or brand out of the fire, you cannot help but be thankful. You can't help but praise Him. You can't help it. A man who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb is thankful for it. Truly thankful for it. And you can tell it in his conduct, in his attitude, in his walk through life. He'll have a thankful attitude. Oh, he'll get upset from time to time, but the tenor of his life will be thankful and praise to God. And it says here, and bless His name. Listen, He continually blesses us. Daily, it says, He loads us with benefits. Daily. He loads us with benefits. And we ought to return the blessing by giving unto Him the glory due unto His name. We ought to give the glory that's due unto His name. Bless His name. Then here's the reason for the praise and thanksgiving. And I'll wind this down. Three things here. There's three things here. For the Lord is good. Here is much reason for the praise and the thanksgiving. Here's reason to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. The Lord is good. He's good. He is all that is good. Our Lord said to that young man, there's none good but God. You don't understand what good is. God, it says, the Lord is good. He's good. He's a stronghold to them who trust in Him. His goodness is over all His works. I tell you this, His providence is good. It's not good and bad and good and bad. His providence is good. It's for our eternal good. It's fulfilling His eternal purpose. It's good. I may have a bad day, but that doesn't make God less than good. God's good no matter what kind of day I have. That's the nature of God. He's good. His sun shines on the just and the unjust. The Lord is good. That's why we're sitting here tonight. That's why we believe the gospel. That's why we can give thanks and praise unto Him, because He's good. He's shown mercy to us. He's done something for us. He's done something for us. He's good. He's the good shepherd. He's called the good shepherd of the sheep. He's the good Samaritan. God is good. The Lord is good. And His mercy, it says, here's the second reason. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. Look how long this world has stood. Look at all the filth and the stuff that's gone on. Look at all the, even among His people, look at all the down. His mercy is everlasting. He's never taken it away from His people. It's ever deep. Deep is the ocean of God's mercy. Drink large. Drink large. You cannot drain that ocean. Deep is the mercy of God. His mercy was on us before the world was. It is on us now, and it will follow us home. Yea, it will lead us home. It'll lead us home. I thought there this evening, this afternoon, I thought we will ride home in the chariot of His mercy. That's right. We'll ride home in the chariot of God's mercy. Everlasting mercy. His mercy, it says, is everlasting. And His truth, here's the third reason. Here's the third reason for this gladness and praise and thanksgiving. His truth endureth to all generations. What is true today, I guarantee you, will be true tomorrow. What's true today will be true tomorrow. It won't. It will not change. Truth never changes. If you're going to lie, write it down. Because you'll never remember how you told it. Truth never changes. It never changes. That's why the gospel never changes. The gospel never changes because truth never changes. And truth never changes because God Almighty is the embodiment of truth and He never changes. He never changes. He's immutable. Everything we see will wear out, but not truth. Not truth. God would have to cease to exist for truth to cease to exist. Aren't you glad that truth is in His hands? That's why it'll endure to the next generation and the next generation. When you and I are gone from here, when we die, and the Lord takes us out, truth will still be here. It'll endure. It'll endure until time shall be no more. Until He puts a time to an end to this. The greatest blessing. I thought the greatest blessing God can give us is His truth. The greatest blessing God can give us is the truth. And the greatest blessing we can leave to our children is the truth. The gospel. The gospel of truth. That's the greatest blessing that we can leave to our children is the gospel of truth. Let me read that psalm one more time. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Well, that's a good song. All right.